Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got a smile on my face today. You know, sometimes I walk down those steps, and I walk down those steps, and I got a kind of a chip on my shoulder. I don't have that chip on my shoulder today. I got a light heart, light spirit today, and great to be here with you. No, we don't have a grandbaby yet. It looks like she's going to have to be induced probably this weekend. She went to the doctor. She's due on Wednesday. She went to the doctor yesterday. I think I get my days wrong. I'm sorry, Michelle. But it looks like they're going to have to probably induce her this weekend. So sometimes you plan on going to the movies. Sometimes you plan on going out to eat. Well, looks like we're going to plan on having a grandbaby this weekend. So we're excited about that. And we were just talking before we went on the air here, the guys in the queue, about the synergy. Jared, can you look that word up? I don't even know if that would be a word. I don't even know if that would be a word in Webster's, synergy, S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y. But there's something synergistic that's going on in amongst our group here. I call it the Holy Spirit. The scientific part of us would probably try to call it something else. Synergy is a natural, just click on that, Jared. Let's see what it says, because there's a synergy. There's a Holy Ghost synergy. Oh, see, I'm a wordsmith, and there's something, sin, S-Y-N, there's something in that word. Sin means the same, sin, like a synonym. Synergy would be same energy. Mark Trump in here, be the same energy wave. When you have a synergy, sin, like synonym, sin means same. Synergy is broadly combined action or operation, a mutually, again, this isn't Webster, this is Merriam-Webster, a mutually advantageous conjunction or compatibility of distinct business participants or elements, right? So in other words, I'm all of a sudden connected to somebody, and I don't even know how that happened or why it happened, but there is a synergy, there is an energy, there is a common same energy. Energy, same. Oh,
synchronous.
Synchronous. That's a big word, Joe. That's a big word. It's bigger than I know. Synchronous. So, Jared, what does that mean? The same time, happening at the same time, simultaneous. Woo! Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. You feeling it yet? Boy, I'm having goosebumps because I had one of those moments yesterday. And not only did I have one of those moments, but one of those moments that was a confirmation to me. I don't care about you, what you think. It doesn't matter, because you know what? I operate from my system of belief and from my knower. You operate from your system of belief and what you know. And I'm going to tell you, what you know does impact what you believe. My wife just sent me something here. We'll do that. Michelle wants all of you out there to pray that the baby will be delivered naturally, and they're not going to have to induce her. That something would happen here that would make that little guy, little girl come out of there. That would be our prayer, that Abby would give birth before it is induced. Now, I want to give you a fair warning. Well, hang on. Some of you won't want to watch. Some of you aren't going to like this. Okay, you're not going to like it. Most of you will. But some of you are going to walk away from today's show. It's, you know, we try to call it Flea Flicker Friday, but I'm not calling it that because I got something I want to do. Although you're free to come in and say whatever you want to. I'm going to talk about some stuff today. That I got my tinfoil hat handy here, Silver and Jeff. But I think it's important because it's part of the synergy that happened to me yesterday. So I'm going to talk about some of that stuff. And now I'm not going to talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and whether she's dead and all that stuff. That's all going to play out here. And I'm not going to get distracted because there's a larger thing that's going on. But before I dive too deep in it, just an update on Todd. I don't know how many of you spoke to Todd yesterday. I didn't speak to him. I had a couple text messages with him. By the way, he's greatly encouraged by text messages and stuff that you send him. He went in for another biopsy yesterday, and they biopsied into his lungs because his pneumonia will not clear up. They can't figure out. And they did a biopsy yesterday for what they call fungal pneumonia. In other words, a pneumonia that's a fungus rather than is it a virus, bacteria, whatever it would be. Because they just can't figure out why he can't shake this thing off. So we need to be in prayer for that. Todd's attitude's still great, but I'm going to tell you something. This dude is life and death, Todd. I'm telling you, I'm not making it up. This is serious, man. So we have to go before the Lord and continue to. I wanted to talk about this the other day, and I didn't get a chance to, and I don't really want to do it today. Well, yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I will. Jared, go clear down there at the bottom. about midway down, Jared, and what I sent you is a thing that says spirit of infirmity. Click on it. I was thinking about Todd having cancer. Not cancer. It's leukemia. They're saying he's had leukemia. And Jennifer Peterson having leukemia. And guys getting sick. And Rusty Thomas's son-in-law developing this cancer. What is this? What's with this cancer thing? What is with this thing? And so I've been asking the Lord to try to show us what's going on. Is this a sickness, or is this a spirit? Is this cancer thing a spirit? And I couldn't get away from what I saw in Luke 13, spirit of infirmity. A spirit of infirmity. The term spirit of infirmity occurs in Luke 13:11, specifically in the King James Version. Here a woman who had been crippled for 18 years is healed by Jesus on the Sabbath day. Luke says she has a spirit of infirmity, or the other version says disabling spirit, or a sickness caused by a spirit, or is a crippled by a spirit. Simply then, the spirit of infirmity is a demon who caused the woman to be crippled for 18 years. Boy, this will shake your theology, won't it? We don't hear this stuff. It's right out of the scriptures, huh? Right? A spirit of infirmity. Jared, go to Luke 13:11. Just click on that. Click on that and see what it says. Luke 13:11. Behold, there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. Now, that's from the ESV. The King James would probably say something different. But quite simply, the spirit of infirmity was a demon that caused this woman to be crippled for 18 years. The Bible is clear that spiritual warfare exists, right? Ephesians 6, we understand that. It says, for our struggles, not against flesh and blood. Wow, Lord, oh, Lord, oh. Sickness hits flesh and blood, doesn't it? Sickness, oh my goodness. Sickness attaches to flesh and blood. And the Bible's clear that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Hang on, Mark's just sent me something here. Let me get this up here. Yeah. Maybe.
And coach, think about it. Flesh and blood. And by his stripes are we healed. And where were the stripes at? On his flesh and blood.
I'm goosebumping again. Hey, Mark Trump, send that picture to Jared, and Jared will get it up there for us. I'm goosebumping on this thing, man.
He should have it, Coach.
Okay.
In his email.
In your email is a picture of Todd for maybe those who don't know. We'll get there in a second, though. Hang on a second. For our struggle is not against diseases, right? It's not against viruses and bacteria, although that's part of it. But, oh, my goodness. And from Luke, it's clear that evil spirit can sometimes cause physical maladies. However, it's not clear that there are specific spirits who specially is sickness or poverty or anger. Luke's reference is to the spirit of infirmity. It indicates that at least in that one case, a demon has been granted power to inflict a disability. Wow. Extrapolating a doctrine that categorizes demons according to the affliction they cause goes beyond what the Bible teaches. See, there you are again. We are prisoners to what we know and to what we don't know. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe there's a whole lot of stuff we don't know. There's Todd on the screen, smiling. And they're poking and prodding and doing whatever they can to him. And he's been laying in there, what, 7, 8, 9? Long time he's been laying in there. But, I was going to call him this morning, but I don't want to wait. Yes. You're breaking up. Whoever it is breaking up. Is that you, Dale? You're breaking up. There you go. Try it again.
I said the four released in the earth in the book of Revelation. Those are four spirits. One of them was a pale grizzly, that which was famine and infirmity and sickness that was released into the earth, brother.
So we know it's a spirit then, don't we? We know there is a spirit. Now, I'm not saying Todd has a spirit. That's not what I'm saying. But do you heal a spirit or do you cast out a spirit? See, those two things are not, they're not the same. They're not the same. And we don't want to go there, or for whatever reason we don't go there. We don't understand it. I believe my heart, Todd's battling a spirit of infirmity. I don't think he's battling cancer. Let's go back to that screenshot, Jared. Let's finish that up real quick. Because I'm going to take you someplace that's going to involve a tinfoil hat. It's going to make you nervous.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know what you just said? Do you heal a spirit or you cast a spirit out? I cannot emphasize enough. That is why if we simply follow instructions and pray for his will in these situations, we don't have to try to figure out on telling God how to perform the miracle. All we do is ask for his will and trust that he'll do it. My granddaughter is undergoing she cannot walk. The pain is tremendous. The doctors have no idea what's happening to her upper leg. They can't figure it out. They don't know if it's viral. They don't know if it's physical damage. They can't see anything on CAT scan or MRI. They don't know if it's a bacterial infection. But I told my daughter, I said, hey, I'm praying for her because I'm praying for God's will for her. I said, I'm asking, I asked guys on David's show yesterday, I says, I want you to pray for my granddaughter, but don't pray for how you think God's supposed to fix this mess. You pray for his will and trust it. And I am totally confident in that. So it's simple. It's not easy because we're so used to doing it the other way, but it is so simple to just follow instructions.
Amen. We need to be careful not to overemphasize the power of demons. Yeah, I agree with that. It's not a demon behind every tree. Many human elements are simply caused by living in a fallen world, and there are many instances in Luke's gospel of people being healed of diseases with no mention of demonic cause. However, in Luke 13, Jesus specifically speaks of Satan having bound this woman. Luke 13, verse 16. See if that's not what it says, Jared. There were some present. Oh, that was it. There were some present at that time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, do you think that these Galileans were? No, that's not what I wanted. Verse 16. We'll take his word for it, okay? But in many other cases of healing, he simply heals with no mention of spirits involved. All right? So there's a sickness. I remember when Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. I could tell a story on that one, by the way. Sickness between a spirit and a spirit of infirmity. Today, there are some people who refer to spirits of infirmity as being the cause of the sickness. Well, they may talk about spirits of particular emotions or sins, such as anger or lust. Certainly, Satan and his demons can attack our bodies, emotions, and thinking patterns. But we cannot blame every illness or every difficult emotion or every sin on Satan's influence. There's a variety of reasons a person may be struggling with such things. Okay, but there is such... No matter the cause of the infirmity, we can bring the problem to God in prayer. James 4 talks about resisting the devil and submitting to God. Prayer is one way to do this. James says we should confess our sins one to another so that we can pray for healing. Good, good, good. Okay, so I'm thinking before, I don't want to get someplace I can't get back from and not have covered up everything that I wanted to talk about there. So Todd, we're praying for Todd. We're believing for the healing. We're going to pray for Jim Peterson, we're going to keep these on our prayer list. Brian Cunningham, Abby and her child. Just call those up things out before the Lord that his will would be done in all of it. Hey, listen, folks, I don't make light of anything. I'm not bragging. I walked and prayed yesterday for an hour. But I believe this. I don't have to beg God. I don't have to beg him. please God heal Todd. Please God, please God, please. But no, no, I don't. My kids, my own children don't have to beg me to do something good. So there's a component that's at work here that's bigger than just whether or not we have to beg God to intervene. We don't have to beg God to intervene. Larry said we have to believe it, speak it, believe it, and stand up. And I believe Todd's going to be healed. I just pray that your brothers would all join me in that. Amen. Anybody, anything to add there? Spirit of infirmity. Spirit of infirmity. That's powerful.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
When I walk with my dog, that's where I do my prayer time. And I pray for the drivers who go through stop signs and anger and speeding. I pray that they go to work, be safe. When ambulance goes by or fire truck, I pray for the first responders and the people on the other end.
Amen, Jeff. And folks, I think what Jeff is saying is critical. I find this, that when I'm out, it comes to my mind what to pray for. I don't have to think about what to pray for. If I just get out and I get alone, the Lord puts things on my heart that I bring before Him. And yeah, Denny.
Just wanted to add, Jesus told the people, He says, "Physician, heal thyself."
Mm-hmm.
That fits with all this. We look at man.
Yep, yep. Well, not even worse than that, Denny. We listen to doctors. See, I know one of the battles that Todd's been fighting with is the doctors. The doctors have one treatment, and Todd believes another treatment. And then the doctors get mad because we don't listen to them. And Todd's a spiritual man dealing with spiritual issues. Why would he take advice from a doctor? Not that you don't listen to doctors. That's not what I'm saying. But Todd has discerned in his spirit that this thing is more than just something a doctor's going to be able to give him a shot for, or some injection or some medicine. Todd has perceived this is a spiritual issue that he's dealing with. Right? Doctors don't understand it. I know David Arthur had a situation with, you know, he went to the doctor yesterday, and I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag on anything, David, but he had some things he couldn't tell the doctor because the doctor wouldn't understand it. The doctor would put him in a straitjacket and lock him up. So we as Christians, we are quick to believe, quick to deny what the Lord says and believe what the doctor says. Somebody say amen. That'd been a great place to
go. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Sometimes, too, you have to be careful because some of those doctors, even nurses, are working the other.
You broke up. George's phone? They're working for the other side. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Sometimes the doctors and nurses can be working for the other side, and a lot of times, you know, there've been instances where people are, oh, Uncle Jimmy was doing great, and all of a sudden this one nurse goes in there, come back out, and he's dead.
Yeah, you don't know, because, man.
And you know, so that's something too that you're battling with as well. So that's why
we need wisdom, right? You need wisdom with your doctors and the information you're getting.
Hey, Coach, so think about it.
God's trying to juggle those two things. Yes.
We speak life and death is held in the power of the tongue. And these doctors will say, you have this. And the people receive that word and it becomes part of them. You don't have to receive that. Yes, there's because of our own stupid choices of what we're eating, whatever. I get it. The fall of... But I believe, why is cancer all of a sudden rampant? Part of it is because the doctor looks at you and says, you've got cancer, and that person receives that, and it's a spirit. You don't have to receive it.
That's right, brother. That's right. And not only that, then they begin to take ownership of it and call it my cancer. Well, I'm dealing with my diabetes. I'm dealing with my cancer. I'm dealing with my infirmity. No, they ain't yours. You can have them if you want to.
Amen.
They ain't yours. They came from somebody else. They belong to somebody else.
Hey, Coach. I'm sitting next to my elder right here. His wife was diagnosed with, she had stage 4 cancer in her lymph nodes. And when all of a sudden that was coming out of it, the doctor told her, oh, it's spread into her lungs. He looked at that doctor and he said, Doc, I rebuked that in Jesus' name. Brother, the TV in the room about shook off the wall. I'm telling you, you know what? His wife is still alive today and cancer-free some 15 years later.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue. That doesn't mean name it and claim it. That's not what it means. It means you speak his word with authority. That's all you do, right?
Amen.
And then it becomes a matter of whose report will you believe, right? Now, I got to say this because I hear this in prayers all the time. Folks, please understand this. I hear people pray, sickness, go back to hell with the devil where you came from. Well, that would be good, except the devil isn't in hell. Okay. Right? And somebody say amen. He's not in hell.
Amen.
And see that we just, those are some of the things that we just hear and we preach over and over and over and over. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. So, okay. So, can I put my tinfoil hat on? Does anybody have anything else to say along that sickness? Did I forget?
Yeah.
Go ahead before I get into it. Yeah.
Coach, yesterday I was at the doctor receiving another treatment, and my doctor and I were talking about how far I've come. And I said, you know what made the difference, doctor? He said, what's that? I said, when you started praying for me instead of just treating me. And he agreed, and it blew his mind.
Wow. When he came in and started praying for you rather than diagnosing you, huh?
Amen.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Isn't that what they do? And don't we say, hey, did you go to the doctor? Yeah, what did the doctor say? Well, he says I have leukemia. Well, tell him to go screw himself. You don't have that. Tend to quit being so judgmental. Pardon, I use that word. I'm sorry.
Hey, Coach, we need to remember also that, the centurion's faith that his servant was sick and just said, Jesus, just say the word.
Yeah.
By faith, by believe. Well, I think that everybody in this huddle, everybody listening to this program today, if we just have faith, our faith can heal all of our guys that are out there in this huddle, that are out there part of this program, all of our faith can touch them and heal them because it's the power of Jesus working through us, and it's our faith in him that makes it happen. So I just want to throw that in there.
I agree with you 100% that our faith and just the people in this huddle, if we were all in agreement and we were all putting our trust in God for the same thing, that it would have a tremendous effect. But that thing we're putting our trust in doesn't need to be what we think needs to be done. It needs to be what God's will is to manifest his kingdom on this earth.
Faith
toward
God.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Coach, Randy, hey, you know, Paul teaches on this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is really who shows us the will of God, speaks the will of God, gives us the will of God to do. So one is the discerning of spirits, okay?
Right.
That is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We don't see that in our intellect. It comes through our spirit man. It is revealed to us. And again, we speak against it. We cast that spirit of infirmity out when he shows it to us. And then there's gifts of healings. You know, there's another manifestation. That's what Dale's elder did in the womb right there with his wife. The gifts, he spoke the gifts of healing over her. Boom. It's the Holy Spirit doing this. We just have to do and what he speaks and gives us in that moment. We need to walk in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Simple. Amen. Okay, Jared, let's move on here. This is good, man. This is good. That's why I love this show. Jared, click on thinking chart. Thinking chart. Because we don't know how to think. And Christians don't think with the mind of Christ. Somebody sent me this. I don't even know where I found it. The ultimate cheat sheet for critical thinking. Let's go down through this real quick. All right? I don't care what the problem is. I don't care what the issue is. I don't care what it is. You want to exercise critical thinking skills, then ask these questions whenever you discover or discuss new information. These are broad and versatile questions that have limitless application. Okay, question number one. Let's pick any issue. Okay, pick any issue. Somebody wants to sell you a car, let's say. Okay, who benefits from this sale? Who is this harmful to? Who makes decisions about this? And who is most directly affected? Also on the side, have you also heard discussions about this? Who would be the best person to consult? Who will be the key people in this decision? and who deserves recognition for this. So the first thing you deal with is the who. And there they are, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on them. We'll make this available to everybody else. Then the next question you need to ask yourself when you're dealing with them is what? What are the strengths and weaknesses? And what is the best and worst case scenario? Two, what is another perspective? That's why in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. And what is the best and least important perspective? What is another alternative? And what can we do to make a positive change? What would be a counter argument? And what is getting in the way of our action? Boy, this is really good, isn't it? Then where?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
We could actually take this and make it biblical.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm thinking that what you're doing here is this would never be taught in a church because it's so far from, you know, them just reading the popsicle reading. But if we apply this in a biblical way, we could say, what are some biblical examples? You know, who in the Bible has needed this? You know what I'm saying? If we have, just like you're saying, you're using biblical verses as you go through this. If you look at the world this way, we can apply anything the world has in biblical scripture, and that helps discern. That helps discern if it fits, right?
Amen. Amen. So let's do this. Let's do this in the world. Somebody told me that 911 was an inside job. Okay, well, who benefits from it? Who have you heard discuss this? Who is this harmful to? Who would be the best person to ask? Who made the decision to do it? Who would be the key people in it? Who's most directly affected? And who deserves recognition? So now all of a sudden it changes the perspective. Instead of just saying, well, nobody would do that. Well, let's ask the who's. Maybe somebody would do it. Right? Okay. Let's go down to number three, critical thinking. Where would you see this in the real world? Collapsing building. Where would you see it in the real world? Can we get more information on how those buildings came down? Where are there similar buildings coming down? Where do we go for help with finding out more information about this? Where is there the most need for this? And where will our idea take us? Where in the world would this be a problem? And where are the areas for improvement? This is just thinking, rather than, how about this one? God wants you to tithe your local church. Okay, who benefits from this? What are the strengths and weaknesses of it? Where would we see this in the real world? Right? Okay, say with me, when? Okay, when? When is this acceptable or unacceptable? When will we know if we succeeded? When would this benefit our society? And when has this played a part in our history? When would this cause a problem? And when can we expect things to change? When is the best time to take action? And when should we ask for help? Think about any problem you're dealing with. And then why? Why is this problem? Why is this a problem or a challenge? Why is teaching homosex to our kids a problem? And why should people know about it? Why is it relevant to me? Why would the average person care that they're teaching homosex to your kid? Why has it been this way for so long? Why is this the best, worst thing that could happen? Why are we allowed this to happen? Why are people influenced by this? And why is there a need for this today? Why do we need to be teaching our kids this? And then how? How is this similar to some other situation? How is this similar to taking the Bible out of the school, to bringing the homosexual in, taking the Bible out? How is this similar? And how does this benefit us or others? Or who does this benefit? How does this disrupt things? How does this harm us and others? How do we know the truth about this? And how do we see this, handle this in the future? And how will we approach this safely? And how can we change this for our own good? I think that's it, isn't it, Jeremy? So there, you know, we'll put that in the in the chat or wherever we would stick that thing. I mean, there's something to be learned from here, boys. This is really, we'd make a lot less bad decisions if we just asked those questions, wouldn't we?
Amen.
Huh? A lot less questions. So there it is. We'll make sure you get that. Okay, I'm heading somewhere today. I have to tell a story. That of course the story would be true, but I sense somebody's got something to say. I'm going to shut up for a minute because somebody was prompted to say it, and then I kept talking, and they didn't say it.
You know, Coach, I was at the Republican meeting on Wednesday, and this would be a good thing because part of the on their agenda was to think of things to do in the future.
Uh-huh.
And all they did was whine and bitch and complain what the Democrats are doing.
But they don't have any. We don't see any solutions to it, do we?
No.
Do we? No. So, Jared, go back to those questions again, if you can pull that back up. Let's look at those questions, and let's say, let's start at the top. Open borders. Open borders. All right. Who benefits? Who is it harmful to? And who gets to make the decision about this? And who's most directly affected? Because see, what the God haters will try to do is they'll try to divert your mind off of these very basic things. And then they'll appeal to your emotions. And then you appeal to your emotions. And see, they're going to get up there and they're going to talk about the benefits and the poor kids and the people coming across and they're needy and they're hurting and yada, 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 yada. And they're handling that. And nobody in the audience stands up and says, hey, wait a minute, is this harmful to anybody? And then all of a sudden, you start thinking a different direction. Yeah, Ethel, is that harmful? Yeah, Ethel, who's going to feed these kids, right? See, that's how critical thinking works, and we're no longer able to do that. Cool? All right. Are you buckled in? Because this happened to me yesterday. It's amazing. We're talking about synergy. I was walking down the how do I want to do this? I was walking down my walk yesterday afternoon, doing prayer, doing just alone, me and a dog. And I was listening to a video. I don't know how I was listening to it. And the title of the guy who does the videos, the guy's named Steve, and he does this video series called Think About It. Pretty simple, right? Think about it. Wow, that's different. Think about it. And I was listening to this video of Steve, Think About It, and I'm telling you, I thought it was my brother, some of the stuff that he had said. And I got down with my walk, and I got in my car, and I opened up my email, and there was an email from Steve, the guy I was listening to. I thought, what? And the email said, well, let me see if I can find it here. I'm not going to waste my time. Just trust me, okay? And the email said, hey, Coach, somebody in the queue, by the way, if I can find out who it was, somebody in the queue asked me if I knew you. And no, I never knew you, but I went to your, saw some of your videos, and but I know you now. Well, you're my brother, Steve. Now, folks, I'm walking down, listening to Steve, I've listened to him before, a couple of his videos. I get in my car and there's an email from Steve. That's synergy. See, synergy. And I took that as confirmation that what Steve was telling me in the video, I need to bring and put on the plate today. That's why I'm doing this. I'm going to take it off. Because Steve, think about it. Think about it. That's his website. He's done hundreds and hundreds of videos and thousands followers. There it is, 215,000 subscribers. He's just a guy. Just pull one. Well, Jared, I'm going to have you play one here in just a second, okay? And the one I was listening to was 14 minutes. We don't have time to take to listen to it. But he was talking about, it caught me, it caught my interest in it. The title of the video was, Why Would They Take Enoch Out of the Bible? That was the title of it. Why would they take Enoch out of the Bible? I thought that's interesting because it used to be in the Bible, the book of Enoch. Now, I got to show you something before we get there. Can somebody tell me, go do a little quiz here, show my own ignorance. Was Enoch before or after Moses? Didn't I know? Was Enoch before or after Moses?
Way before.
Before.
Way before?
Yes.
He was way before? Who wrote Genesis?
Moses.
Moses wrote Genesis.
Enoch was pre-flood.
What?
He was seventh from Adam.
Is pre-flood.
What? Are you kidding me?
No.
Hey, Jared, click on Moses after Enoch. I'll show you this, guys. This blew me.
Coach, just real quick. Moses was the scribe for God because God gave to Moses what to write down. So when you talk about Enoch, you're not talking about Moses' opinion about Enoch. You're talking about what God said to put in there about Enoch. Moses wasn't there. Moses was the scribe for God in the writing of the book of Genesis.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But listen, the reason, look at this, blew me away, is I just Googled in, is Moses before Noah? Well, I knew that. I knew that. But look at this. I did. Enoch, 404 BC, Adam and Eve's first two children are born. 4,000 years before Christ, Cain and Abel were born. 10 years later, Enoch is born. That's how far back Enoch goes, right? Do you realize how far back we are? And do you understand that the book of Enoch was a book that Enoch wrote back in 39, well, not 3900, but 3400? That Enoch was well before Genesis. Are you guys keeping up with me? I'm talking about Enoch not from a scriptural standpoint, but let's talk about it from a historical standpoint. Okay? And the book of Enoch being nothing more than just a historical record from 3400 BC. Okay? I'm making some of you nervous. That's all right. I don't care. Because I want to know the truth, baby. I want to know the truth.
Put your tinfoil hat back on.
I'm not going to put it back on. I'm going to leave it off. Okay? So going down there, Enoch's Enoch is the great-great-grandchild of Seth. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Enoch, the great-great-grandchild of Seth, is born at the same general period Methuselah was born. Noah's born 3,000. 3,500. So anyway, there's the timeline, okay? So you say, Coach, what are you saying? Well, do you know that the book of Enoch talks about the coming of the Savior? Did you know that? Before there was even a Genesis, did you know that? So, Jared, pull up there. Hey, some of you can tune out right now. You don't have to listen to it. You don't have to. You don't have to listen. Just like you don't have to. Oh, well. Isn't it amazing in medicine we're trying to go back to old, what do they call it, natural medicines? Because some of the stuff scientists have been telling us is not really true, not really good. So people are returning to natural medicines, right? Now, Jared, I want you to, this is all really good, and I'll put this up there so you can watch it. But, Jared, I want you to advance it to about the five-minute mark. This is why the book of Enoch was removed from scripture. Now, Steve ain't no more of an expert than me, okay? But he just says, think about it, will you? Just think about it. Go ahead and play this, Jared.
Affirms the writings of the book of Enoch. Anyone who ignores the book of Enoch is content and complacent in their ignorance. And in my opinion, ignorance is the greatest commodity in today's world. Much of it is deliberate. And the rest of it is by choice. There's so much information and detail that God has revealed through his prophet Enoch. It's definitely important to know. But the main reason this book has been left out of our contemporary Bibles, no matter what version you have, is because it exposes the fallen angels, the demonic activity of this earth, and the actual creation and the way things really work, instead of how we've been taught and programmed to believe. The devil knows the less you understand about his deception, the easier it is to deceive you and to make you believe the lie. The lie of science is explained by men who only try and label the things that they understand, but the book of Enoch explains everything in a much different way about the sun, the moon, the stars, and what makes them work. Is the earth round or is it really flat? There are some people that are simply too programmed already, and they wouldn't believe the things in the Book of Enoch, even if you laid out the most compelling evidence in front of them. The early church knew these things.
Time out, Jared. Because see, it's the same thing that's going on with Donald Trump. You have people that you could tell them the absolute great things that Trump's did, and they ain't going to believe it. They're just not going to believe it. So we're all programmed this way. Folks, understand this. I'm not endorsing this. I'm having you, hey, think about it. Go ahead, Jared.
Things. And it's only been in the last few hundred years or so that the church has been kept in the dark regarding the Book of Enoch and the information that it contains. Why is it important to know the truth about everything God wants us to know and understand? In John chapter 8, Jesus said this to people who trusted in him. He said, if you obey what I say, then you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's no doubt in my mind that God wants his people to understand him clearly and completely. That doesn't mean we'll know everything about the power or the glory of God, but we need to know everything he has already revealed through his prophets, including Enoch. The Apostle Paul made it clear in 1 Thessalonians 4 that he didn't want anyone in the church to be ignorant about those who had died. Could it be that the reason the Bible doesn't go into great detail in the way the Book of Enoch does is because we have the Book of Enoch, and it wasn't necessary to repeat the same things again? The Book of Enoch explains things that no other part of Scriptures does. Why is the Book of Enoch seeming to come back after not being included for so many years? I think the answer may be in the Book of Daniel. But you, Daniel, keep these words secret and seal up the book until the time of the end. Many will rush here and there as knowledge increases.
Wow!
There are only two reasons that the Book of Enoch would not be included anymore in Scripture. Either they were trying to protect us or deceive us. And the only reason they would want to deceive us is so they could control us. And I'm convinced that this is why mankind has been deceived. We all know what a lie is, but it's the purpose and intent of a lie being told that we really need to understand.
Stop, Jared.
Why does it matter?
Critical thinking. Who, what, why? Go ahead.
Matter that we believe the earth is flat or it's a globe, just like all the other planets that we see. Why does it matter if we believe in giants or not? Well, if you're a Christian, a real born-again believer with the Holy Spirit living in you, it's not as critical as someone who's not, but the problem is you'll never be able to explain to someone who's not saved the questions they ask you.
Amen.
I've seen Christians just pretend.
Do you understand that? Do you understand that we're always supposed to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us? And if we don't have all the data, Mark, if we don't understand the data, somebody's going to come along and they're going to ask a question and we don't have the answer to it. We need to fill ourselves with truth so we can give an answer to every man that asks us. Keep going.
Pretend like certain things aren't in the Bible that they don't understand. Remember what Jesus said? When you know the truth, that truth of knowing will set you free. He also said, for everyone who has something will be given more, so that he will have more than enough. But from anyone who has nothing, even what he does have will be taken away. When you don't use the gifts and talents and knowledge you have, even what you think you have is taken away. What did Paul write to Timothy? Do all you can to present yourself to God as someone worthy of his approval, as a worker with no need to be ashamed, because he deals straightforwardly with the word of truth. So let me be straightforward, and I'm telling you this is Satan's plan. And you need to understand that he cannot do it except through men. In the same way that God chooses to use us as his instruments for righteousness on this earth. If Satan can convince the world that the earth is round and it's a globe spinning around in the universe, just like the other planets, that there's nothing special about Earth, it's just another planet that man can inhabit, but it's no different than Mars or anywhere else that could sustain life for mankind, then he can also convince you that there are aliens, extraterrestrial beings that came here and planted our species billions of years ago. The UFOs and all the other unexplained phenomena are the reality of the lie, when the truth is exactly what the Book of Enoch and the Bible have recorded it to be. The fallen angels did come down and mate with human women that produced giants. And these giants were never meant to exist. And the consequences of these giants were destructive and catastrophic on mankind. Genesis chapter 6 mentions it, and the book of Enoch chapter 6 gives the gory details. The group of fallen angels that came down and mated with earthly women was 200. In comparison to the total of the fallen angels, it was a small number, but the damage they caused was very great. The book of Enoch is where we discover that when the giants died in their physical bodies, their spirits were not human spirits, and they would continue to live without a body on the earth. Demons knew exactly who Jesus was. He was the Son of God, and they were aware of their ultimate doom. Both Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 12, Jesus explains what happens when the evil spirits have no body. When an unclean spirit comes out of a person, it travels through dry country seeking rest. On finding none, it says, I will return.
What's an unclean spirit? When an unclean spirit comes out of a person, what's an unclean spirit? Go ahead, Jerry.
Turn to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept and clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they come and live there. So that in the end, the person is worse off than he was before. Chapter 9 of the book of Enoch gives the detailed picture of depravity. In chapter 6 through 15 of the book of Enoch, we see in great detail the original abominations the fallen angels committed. What they taught women, their fate God pronounced on them, the destruction of earth by the flood. And in chapter 15, we see God's judgment on the giants. It says, and now the giants who are produced from the spirits and flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, and on the earth shall be their dwelling. Evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies, because they are born from men and from the holy watchers is their beginning and primal origin. They shall be evil spirits on earth, and evil spirits shall they be called. But as for the spirits of the earth, which were born upon the earth shall be their dwelling. And the spirits of the giants afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, and work destruction on the earth, and cause trouble. They take no food, but nevertheless hunger and thirst, and cause offenses. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against the women, because they have proceeded from them. Without understanding the book of
Jared. Okay, I'm going to cut it off there, and I'm going to make this available. Is that unbelievable? Did you guys know that was in the book of Enoch? Did you guys know that? Did you know that in that 3,000 years before the book of Genesis? Hey, Jared, pull up. I've got it right here. Where is it? Enoch. I think I sent it to you. Didn't I? Yeah, I did. It's in the stuff, Jared. It's in the stuff. Click it. Look for Enoch chapter 15, which is what Steve just read to us there. Some of you are nervous. I got my hat right here. Then addressing me, this is Enoch chapter 15. Now, okay, it's not the Bible. Then addressing me, he spoke and said, hear, neither be afraid, O righteous Enoch, the scribe of righteousness. Approach hither and hear my voice. Go, say to the watchers of heaven who have sent thee to pray for them, you ought to pray for men and not men for you. Wherefore have you forsaken? He's talking to the angels now. Remember, listen, this came to me so clearly. We've got it so wrong. The angels came down and defiled themselves with humans. Humans weren't defiled by the angels were angels. And they came down and laid with women. The angels defiled themselves with human blood. We think the angels defiled us. No, they defiled themselves. Wherefore have you forsaken the lofty and holy heaven, which endures forever, and have lain with women? Have defiled yourself with the daughters of men, and have taken to yourselves wives, and have acted like the sons of the earth, and have begotten an impious offspring. You being spiritual, holy, and possessing a life which is eternal, have polluted yourself with women, and you have begotten in carnal blood. Oh my goodness. And have lusted in the blood of men, and have done as those who are flesh and blood do. Saying to the angels, you've acted like men. You act like pigs. These, however, die and perish, talking about men. Therefore, I have given to them wives, that they might cohabit with them, that sons might be born of them, that this might be transacted upon the earth. But from you, from the beginning, were made spiritual, possessing a life which is eternal and not subject to death forever. Therefore, I made not wives for you, because you're spiritual. Your dwelling's heaven. Now, the giants who have been born of spirit and of flesh shall be called upon earth evil spirits, your offspring. Those are the evil spirits. And on earth shall be their habitation. Evil spirits shall proceed from the flesh, because they were created from above. From the holy watchers were they beginning and primary foundation. Evil spirits shall they be upon earth, and the spirits of the wicked shall they be called. The habitation of the spirits of heaven shall be in heaven, but upon earth shall be the habitation of terrestrial spirits who are born on earth. The spirits of the giants shall be like clouds, which shall oppress, corrupt, fall, contend, and bruise upon the earth. They shall cause lamentation, these evil spirits. No food shall they eat. They shall be thirsty. They shall be concealed and shall not rise up against the sons of men and against women. For they come forth during the days of slaughter and destruction. If you haven't read Enoch 6 through 16, you need to do it. So here's what Steve is saying, and here's what I am positing. This explains where they came from. Now, let's not worry about whether or not they're coming back, the giants are returning, and that. Let's not worry about all this. But this explains where spiritual evil spirits came from. Somebody come in and bail me out.
Hey, Coach, Bible, the Word of God says that when two or three witnesses, it's established on earth, you know, I guess if we don't believe that, we have to throw out the books of 1st and 2nd Peter and the book of Jude and the Hebrews, because Peter, Jude, Paul all authenticated the writings of Enoch.
Right. And again, but listen, now, without getting into it, Enoch used to be part of still part of the Ethiopian Bible, whatever the heck that means. It was part of the canon for a while. But let's say it's not canon. Let's say it's not. Doesn't this give us a better understanding of? Did you ever ask yourself, where did the evil spirits come from? Have you ever asked yourself that? Where'd they come from? Hey, guys, they can't die. Why? Because of their path immortal.
Hey, Coach, you do know that most of Christianity, probably all of it, accepts the historical writings of Josephus and things like that to support and reinforce the things that our current scriptures say. Well, why would they accept what Josephus, who was after the time of Jesus or during the time of Jesus, why would they accept that and reject supporting and clarifying information from 3,000 years before the historical writing of Genesis?
Because it's critical thinking. Critical thinking. Who took it out? Why did they take it out? When did they take it out?
Yes. Come back to the critical thinking. See, listen, don't just write it off because that's not what you've been taught or that's not what you believe. Who would change the scripture? Who would do that? Why would they do that? For what purpose? Who benefits from it? Listen, when the Bible was written, we're not talking about, you didn't have copy and paste. You didn't have Google and some search engine. It was man to man, decision being made around the table. We're going to keep this in. We're going to keep this out. What? They were decisions that were being made. Who benefits from this? Who's this harmful to? Who makes this? You get it? Critically think. Now I'm going to, Jared, make sure that this YouTube from Steve is in the, show notes or whatever. Cause folks, I want you to watch all of it. Now he talks about, I think Steve's a flat earther. Okay. I think so. I'm not there yet. Steve's there, I think. He doesn't make that, but it's not the central focus of it, okay? It doesn't matter. But Steve goes on to explain why all this stuff matters. Why didn't they want, what could it be? I'm just asking that the Catholic Church didn't want us to understand spiritual warfare because they wanted us to be dependent on the church.
Amen.
Come to them. Pay money to them. And could that be?
Hey, Coach, you know, a lot of people won't believe the Book of Enoch, but yet they'll read Charles Stanley or John MacArthur and take it as, you know, they'll read that and that's okay.
How about Left Behind? They'll read Left Behind right?
And believe
they'll believe that one, right? So what are we about here? We're about critical thinking here, fellas. And do you think it was accident? Do you think it was an accident that I heard from Steve yesterday after I just watched this video? By the way, somebody in the queue is the one who sent a note to Steve, said, do you know Coach? I can't remember exactly who it was. There's so many people in there. Identify yourself in there if you're the one that did it. And Steve watched and responded. Folks, that's that synergy I'm talking about. That's that confirmation that I got from the Lord. Say, Coach, don't worry about the criticism. Don't worry about it. This is germane. This has something to do with it. Coach, you got to be smart enough to decipher and let the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth. But Coach, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's some truth here, Coach.
Yeah, let's not call it synergy. Let's call it what Paul said. And for our spirit bears witness with his.
Hey, Dale, not so much did it bear witness with me. He had the guy email me. God had him email me as I was watching it. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Oh, there's so much we know and so much we don't know and so much we believe and so much we don't really know why we believe. Hey, there it is. George. George Marmillan is the one. Like I support you, I also Coach, like I support you, I also support Steve. I was just writing him an email explaining that I was leaving Patreon. I just felt led of the Holy Spirit to check you out. This is something. George says, there's something happening here. So George, who's part of this queue, sends an email to Steve, who he supported. And Steve watches a couple of my videos and contacts me. Hey, there's something happening here.
Hey, Coach. So
yes.
This explains why God wanted every man, woman, and child killed in 1 Samuel 15, and a lot of people have trouble with that.
Oh, yes!
This explains that. That's why it's important.
Go back to the critical thinking again, right? Go back to the critical thinking thing. Why did God... Who made the decision about a flood? Who did? Who benefits from it? Who's this harmful to? What? Why? Do it with all of it. How about this one? My pastor won't talk at all about any of this stuff. Huh? Well, who benefits from him not talking about it? Who's it harmful to? What? What is the strength and weakness? Get it? You get it? Critical thinking skills, boys? Quit believing it just because somebody told you it. And quit believing it just because your denomination always believed. Oh, I'm getting in trouble today. Thanks, George. Not George. Not you, George. This George. This is heavy, isn't it, fellas? This is heavy. So I would say one of your assignments for the weekend is just maybe go to old Enoch and say, hey, I'm going to read this comic book. Hey, Esther, I'm going to stay down here and I'm going to read this comic book here. I don't believe anything about it. I'm just going to read it, see what the heck it is.
And the scripture tells us, Paul writes, to study to show yourself approved. Not that your pastors study for you. I always tell my people the same thing.
Yeah.
You have to show yourself approved, not via through me, but through the Holy Spirit.
Hey, Dale, does it say study the Bible only to show yourself approved? See, folks, listen, you got to understand this. The things that are coming upon the earth, we as Christians, we better have the answers to the people who are asking us the questions. We better have an answer to it. And right now, we don't have answers. We've got theories. We got all kinds of... We don't have the answers. Why don't we have the answers? Because we don't know the truth. And if we dig into the truth, then we're going to be able, prepared always to give an answer. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks you. And you're going to say, why? Why is this going on? And say, well, let me tell you something. Have you heard about the watchers and the 200 angels that fell down and mated with women? What? Oh, yeah. You want me to tell you? Want to tell you more about that? And through that truth, they will be led to a greater truth. Oh, who, what, when, where, why? Unbelievable. What time to be alive. God bless you. Thanks for putting up with me. got my hat. I'm going to study Enoch some more this weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Amen, Coach. Amen.